Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome. This is another edition of Fightful SmackDown Post Show. Of course, I am Phil Lindsay, kind of a regular here now at this point. We've designated before last time I was here that not Kate, not a blonde white woman, but I appreciate you guys accepting me as a replacement. Of course, I'm also here with Alex. What's going on, bro?
What's up, brother? It's always great to have you on here because that comment of not a blonde white woman, I would have never guessed it. I said it before. Very, very close, but I'm happy that you're here with us.
Listen, maybe if you squint a little bit, you know, might be a little confusion, but I don't know. This was a, I don't want to say an uneventful episode of SmackDown. It feels like not a lot happened, though. It was a lot of recaps. There was a lot of stalling for time at certain points. At least two matches here were very good and they were worth a watch. But a lot of stuff around it was kind of like, all right, man, get to the point.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, man. The episode felt a little bit deflated, I guess, not the normal. It's also, I guess, winding down the end of the year, you know, people getting hurt, you know, stuff like that. So,
yeah, it's a holiday weekend coming up. Christmas is 4 days away. Does not seem like it, but it is 4 days away.
Yeah.
Also have Ring of Honor tonight. That's where Kate will be. Kate will be on the Ring of Honor post show. But also, it just kind of feels like coming out of Saturday Night Main Event, this was very much like kind of a punt episode to follow up where not much is going to happen, but, you know, it's enough to, you know, let you guys know the stuff from Saturday Night Main Event that affected this show happened, because again, we got a lot of recaps, But also, you know, we got a bit more with the women tonight, a bit more with Naya and Tiffany. But yeah, not a lot happened.
It was definitely, it felt like just a giant recap that was recapping recaps. It just, I said it last week, and if I don't know if you knew this, Phil, but Raw's moving to Netflix on January 6th. I don't know if you've seen any of the commercials or any. I know I've only saw one, and I was surprised. So I hope that they do better marketing. But Raw is going to Netflix January 6th.
Yeah, we got plenty of promotion for that. That was another thing that got recapped here. They recapped the media event the other day from WWE headquarters. I guess we should also get into, we effectively got the announcement that SmackDown will be going to 3 hours. The first SmackDown of January, January 3rd, will be the first three-hour episode of SmackDown. Oh, I'm kind of dreading that. I've been enjoying the move to 2 hours on Raw. And before that, I was a big Hulu watcher day after, where I could watch the shortened version of it that cut out a lot of filler. And now Raw is no longer Hulu, so I don't even get the shortened version. And I assume eventually Raw will be going back to 3 hours as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're looking at 2 3-hour shows now. Oh. How do you feel about that?
Dude, when you know, I was on Blue Sky where I live now, and as soon as I saw the effing freaking post that it's moving to 3 hours, I yelled, and I didn't just yell like online, like, oh god, I kind of yelled like, what, WTF, right? Like, why is this happening? Why are we doing 3 hours? Like, this makes. Listen, we're here for a reason on Fightful, where we talk wrestling, we love wrestling, but wrestling is very niche, right? And that 2 hours that it gives you, like, that's really good prime real estate. Is I feel like that is such a good time, you know, those just 2 hours, and then giving freaking SmackDown a third hour is just there's gonna be a lot of dragging. Basically, I feel bad because I know it puts talent and people on TV, and that's what we want. But yeah, I don't know. 3 hours, that's a lot.
Yeah. Immediately, I mean, I think that the positive to this is they just established new mid-card title for the women. That does make me feel a little bit better about the inception of both belts, because now you'll have more time to showcase those titles and build up the mid-card for the women on both shows. Yes. But I just, 3 hours is a lot, man. And I find myself getting disinterested sometimes during 3 hours of Raw. I don't know. And Friday is such a different beast. Friday, end of the week, you're ready to wind down. You're ready to, you know, get into your weekend plans. Sometimes I'm not at home on Friday night. And the idea of watching 3 hours of wrestling on Friday.
I know.
Seems like a lot. But, I mean, if you also were already watching Rampage, you already got your 3 hours of wrestling. But still, it's just 3 hours of wrestling is a lot.
Yeah, that's true. That's 100%, yeah.
But yeah, as always, feel free to send us your super chats. That is the best way to guarantee that your chat will be read on the air. You can also send us your humper chats via humperchats.com/Fightful. We will get into some topics from the show. But yeah, see, we got one super chat here. From Aerial Assassin, he says, Phil, thoughts on Seth being possibly shafted again? I'm assuming you're talking about the reports that we could be looking at Roman Reigns taking on CM Punk at WrestleMania.
Ah.
I've been saying for a while, I think this is the year to finally do Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns. This feels like the year to give Seth Rollins his big one-on-one main event with Roman. They've been kicking this match down the road for about two, almost 3 years now. I think with all of this stuff stemming from the War Games build, you have a good case that you can spend the next few months building to that match. Because to me, it kind of feels like, well, if not now, when are you going to do this match? And, you know, you're in a situation now with The Rock not available, if he's not available. That's, of course, yeah. The reports we're getting is that they've kind of moved on and they're planning around not having The Rock at WrestleMania.
I 100% think that I think the reason why they're putting already these cards together the way they are with you know, what we're hearing, it would have to be like you don't have Rock available.
That's right? What, like, I would assume.
I would think that if he was going to make any type of appearance, he would have teased something other than that, you know, 1, 2, 3 and whatever he did there at that one showing and that, which made no sense to me. I think I'm still trying to figure it out. But other than that, I mean, maybe January 6th, he shows up at Raw in LA. I don't know. It's hard. I don't even know, man.
I don't know. It kind of feels like we're not going to see The Rock at WrestleMania. But as opposed to like what this means for Seth, I don't know what this means. I do think it would be kind of a bummer if he doesn't get his match with Roman again. But can't say that I'm surprised. If you're going to pivot from The Rock and you're looking at the response that you got from just putting these two guys in the ring during this War Games build and CM Punk and Roman, I get it. Like that segment that they had where they're talking at the table that did 1 million views on YouTube within 24 hours. They know that they have a money feud there. And if you're not going to have The Rock and you're kind of looking for the best option, the next best thing, I could see them going, well, we got CM Punk.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, CM Punk is still someone who's going to sell a ticket, is someone who people are invested in. If, you know, they already teased a little bit of the story there with Paul Heyman. You know, we know that there's a little bit of you know, friction between the both of them, even though they teamed up for Survivor Series. So that would be set up a story down the line to see these two kind of like go at it, right? Maybe a number one contender for the title, whoever wins that match goes on. I don't know how they would put that off. If it's just a match, just to have a match, just because they're mad at each other, you could do that at any given Raw, you know, and make it special. Yeah. So it would have to mean something. I mean, especially for WrestleMania, it would have to be a giant blow off of a match.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're trying to do a big kind of once in a lifetime kind of match that they've been trying to build this Rock Roman match around, CM Punk and Roman is a match that's been 10 years in the making. You've got
you
all
think
of
that
the...
they throw Seth in there and make it a three-way?
I wouldn't. If you're going to go full in, just do the one-on-one match.
Got it.
I think the fact that they're already putting the Rollins match with Punk on Raw tells me that that's not going to be the WrestleMania feud. I don't think that they would just put that on a episode of Raw. And not to say that this is just any episode of Raw, because again, I don't know if you guys know, but Raw is going to Netflix, and so he need a big match for
I'm
this
glad
Raw.
You broke those news tonight here, Phil. Maybe you should have called Sean and let him know you were coming up with that before you said it.
Yeah. But yeah, I get it. And I mean, the fact that this is also main eventing that show, it sounds like they've said more than once now that this is probably going to be the main event of that Raw. That leads me to believe that we may get this match and possibly another blow off match, but it doesn't feel like this is going to be the WrestleMania match for Punk.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll be glad to watch it anyway, just to see what comes out of it. I know they'll do an incredible job of piecing together a story. So I have no doubt in my mind that we will get something really cool along the line. And, you know, I don't know how much Punk has in the tank in the sense of, like, you know, like you can tell after a lot of these matches, it really beats the hell out of him, you know, like. I think he's also enjoying the fact that, you know, he's hanging out with the younger talent down at NXT. You know, that's something that big for him. But I don't want to see him get hurt, number one, or you know, be off TV. You know what I'm saying? I feel like if he's going to be doing these one-on-a-lifetime matches like you mentioned, It's the build is going to be phenomenal. I think it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, I think based on what we got in this War Games build, there's definitely a lot you can do with this. I mean, we knew that already. This is a big, massive match. I would argue it's one of the biggest matches of this era that you could potentially do. And wow. If when you're saying like a replacement for The Rock, I get it. And you know why I'm saying it's one of the biggest matches of this era. I mean, man, again, 10 years in the making, Punk leaving and what that meant, the Make Roman Look Strong stuff, all the stuff that came out of him doing that podcast, Roman taking all the jabs at him when he came back to wrestling in 2021, all of the stuff between them that has gone unsaid all of these years, and to finally get these guys in the ring, WrestleMania in Vegas, where Punk cut the pipe bomb. There's so much material there. There's so much you can do with that going into a WrestleMania in Vegas. So I get it. While I would like the Roman Rollins match, I totally understand why, if you're looking around like, we need a big match on par with the Rock match. This makes sense.
Now, when you mention it that way, 100%. I totally forgot about the things that were said and, you know, kind of the real life situations that were happening around, you know, Punk's life as he exited wrestling. So it would be cool. I would love for them to kind of like resurface that and maybe use it, but you know, I don't know how much legality they can go into it, especially, you know.
I do think some certain things from the podcast will be mentioned in a cheeky way. I don't see them getting around that. I just still think everything is crazy about this. The fact that 10 years ago is when they cut that promo going into Thanksgiving weekend. It was like right after Thanksgiving when that podcast dropped. And 10 years later, these guys are on the same team, War Games Survivor Series. Weird times.
Very weird.
Let's get into this episode of SmackDown. We open with the Bloodline promo. Solo Sikoa came out in his wrestling gear, basically got into more of the stuff with Roman, setting up their match for the debut on Netflix and the tribal combat for the Ulafala. I am a bit confused as to why.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas. Point your toes west.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The War Games match didn't settle that and ended up with another match anyway. But I digress. this promo was fine. I very much perked up when Drew McIntyre's music hit. That's when it got interesting, in my opinion.
Yeah, it seems like he has a hit list, so to say. And, you know, there's people that have wronged him, and he's looking for ways to, whether you're friend or foe, to take him out. Like, he has no friend in the business. Like, and that's his character, right? And that's what makes him obviously the most dangerous, is because he's not looking to freaking shake your hand and be your friend. He's looking to kick your head off for certain things that have happened along the way. Whether you were part of someone's group, weren't part of someone's group, you were near them, you know, he's looking for a way to get you.
Yeah, Drew has been phenomenal since he came back. To no surprise, because he was great before he went away in the Punk feud. All of the stuff he's done since he's come back have been perfectly in character. Of course, he is still holding a grudge against Bloodline and Roman. And seeing all of those guys paired together again with Punk as well set him over the edge again. And so for him to come back and target all of the guys on the OG Bloodline, but also show up here and say, oh, no, I didn't forget that you were the guy that cost me the title at Clash of the Castle. You were the guy in the hoodie that if it wasn't for you, I would have been champion. But mm-hmm. He's at least giving Kim the chance to go, hey, settle this thing with Roman. Once that's over, all bets are off. But I love that he comes in straight away here and is letting him know, nah, I didn't forget any of that. Just because I've targeted all the OG Bloodline guys. No, it's up for all of you dudes.
Yeah, I like that. I like that he's making sure that his presence is felt with all of the people that have been in and around anything that has pissed him off in the last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Love where they're going with this character. Love him showing up here. But right after that, we got the 6-man tag match. The new Bloodline taking on the team of very, very odd team, which was set up in the backstage segment from a week ago. But the team of LA Knight, Apollo Crews, and Andrade. I was a little bit taken aback by the fact that they all just came out to LA Knight's music. And with all the stuff that Andrade's been doing on SmackDown with Melo, now he just comes out without his music, just as a part of Team LA Knight, I guess.
I know, it's 100% weird. They've been beating the crap out of each other for months. And they're like, hey, let's save some time. You just go out there to LA Knight's music. Hurry up, go.
Yeah, hurry up, get out. We had to get two promos out the way before this match. But the match itself was fine. I was surprised how long this match was. This match really took up most of the first hour of SmackDown, which, to my point earlier, how it felt like a lot of stretching for time. This match definitely felt like it went on way longer than it needed to, but it kind of felt like it was here because there wasn't much else in the first hour.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was 100%. Like, again, it was... is these weird teams that kind of come together a lot of the time is something that, to me, throws me off a little bit. Because throughout the match, I'm thinking someone has to turn on someone and punch someone in the mouth, right? Like, there's still anger. There's still anger from everything that has happened in the past. Why not, right?
Yeah, but this match was fine. It basically went the way we all expected. Mm-hmm. The Bloodline picked up the win here. Solo Sikoa picked up the win by pinning Apollo Crews, I believe. And then, I mean, there were bits of it that I really enjoyed. The exchanges between Jacob and Andrade were fantastic.
Yeah.
This guy, Jacob, man, it just, every time you get this guy next to somebody, it's like, ooh, I kind of want that match. And it just shows you how much people are already invested in this singles run with him because, man, he gets in there, does a stare down with people, and they're like, oh, wait, I didn't even think about this match. And it was the same thing here once he mixed it up with Andrade a little bit. I was saying, oh, yeah, that could be a dope match down the line.
Yeah, he's there's a lot of different avenues that you could take with him. Mm-hmm. And whoever you plug in there against him, for some reason, I just feel it's going to be a great, fresh, new take, a fresh match, right? Because we haven't really, you know, he's been part of the group. He hasn't really ventured off into, like, his own little ecosystem beating people up on one-on-ones, right? Like, he's just been part of, like, beatdowns and, you know, confrontations. So I think maybe next year they kind of let him loose a little bit, and I hope that they do. The man could probably pull off, and I'm sorry, he'll probably outshine a lot of his own members in his team. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. But I have enjoyed this version of Bloodline together more than I expected. I think Solo Sikoa definitely came into his own as a leader, and I think the less and less he took himself seriously, the more he started leaning into his comedic side, the better he got as a leader. Jacob is tremendous, as we said, and Tamatanga is hilarious at everything he does. Just the little promo packaging they did with him for the Netflix debut, and he's like taking his shirt off and getting all in the camera and doing a yeah. Very, very funny dude.
He's you know, I wasn't smartened up to him. Obviously I knew of him, and I've seen a couple things here and there, but just kind of having him in WWE and kind of like bringing that full-on character, not changing who he is, you know, because sometimes they fall into that trap where, you know, you kind of just bring these guys in and you kind of have, they tweak them, you know, but he's been full on that character, which is great. Yeah. Because that's the thing that people know him for, and that's what he continues to do. Very, very cool to kind of just like, he's funny, but he's dangerous, you know. Yeah. Like, you can never turn your back on him.
Yeah, Tamatanga in New Japan is a vastly different character in a lot of ways, but it's not that I don't see that translating over, but just in the role that he's in currently in the Bloodline,
yeah,
it doesn't really work as well. And I think he's done a great job of simplifying what he does well. I think he's done a great job of adding moments when he's given a chance to make people turn around and pay attention to him, because it's not just him standing around behind Solo or everybody else looking menacing. He always takes the chance to do something to go, what the heck is that guy over there doing? Sure, I mean, even him coming down in a War Games match and climbing a cage and climbing back and forth, I'm like, what is this guy doing?
And the way he was climbing too, it was like sideways. he looked like the old school Nintendo games where it's all 2D and you're just like jumping.
Yeah, he looked like Vega in Street Fighter. He looked like
yeah.
But yeah, this match served its purpose. I was very surprised to see Shinsuke Nakamura towards the end of this match. He of course took LA Knight out of the fray, and that's what caused his team to lose the match. I kind of hate when WWE does this where the heel wins the feud. They win the match, but then they come back and still torment the guy that they were feuding with anyway. What does he have to gain by costing him this match? He's already won. He's the United States champion.
Yeah. I don't get it either. Like, there's some interference things that happened that just don't need attention, right? Like, this one was something that didn't need the attention. Like, you're already the champ. What are you trying to set up, right? Like, and especially if you're a heel, you have nothing to set up.
You've already won.
Yeah, you should be chased. That's exactly what should be happening. Yeah.
He has all the bragging rights. He should not be coming down and interfering in this match for anything at this point. LA Knight should be the one coming out and demanding his rematch.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Yeah, but that aside, this match was fine for what it was. Nothing really to write home about. The Bloodline pick up a win here to move on into this the rest of this Bloodline feud. I loved, by the way, in the promo ahead of time that I loved this Solo mentioned straight away. Yeah, he's standing out there on his little boat and talking about his island. And yeah, after I beat him, he can go back to his island and he can finally acknowledge me. Because I did wonder when we got that promo package, like, where did this boat come from? What's going on here?
Funny. I love that they like, there's certain things that just make sense when they do them right.
Moving on from here. We got a backstage interview with Chelsea Green. Chelsea Green, of course, is your inaugural Women's United States Champion. I feel mm-hmm. that was the right choice. I think mm-hmm. most of us going into the match of Saturday Night Main Event assumed that she was going to win. She was a favorite to win this thing from the beginning of the tournament. And great for her. She deserves this. I thought she looked great with her gear, with her face all over it, kind of like a real Rick Rude thing to do, especially with the old school vibe of Saturday Night Main Event. What'd you think of? I mean, there's not much to take from this interview. It's the usual heel, ha ha ha, I've won.
Yeah.
But what do you just take of Chelsea Green so far as the longest reigning United States champion?
The longest reigning. You know, she's gonna squeeze, the way I see it, she's gonna squeeze every single bit of airtime minutes that she can to mm-hmm. make it the most glorious minutes of television, as she should, as champion. Her character shouldn't change, right? Her character should still be this perfect heel who just kind of, like, you know, ha-has you in the face and has her moments and it's funny, but at the same time can beat your ass in the ring, right? Like, that's honestly what the way that she should keep it. And I think that she honestly should have some incredible matches coming up. I don't know who's set up right now from the ladies to kind of like chase, but I do know this. They're going to, whatever I think they throw at her, it's going to be great. She's going to use her heel tactics. I think what a great way to start your, you know, your first ever United States women's run with a heel. Mm-hmm. Because it kind of gives it more light, because people are chasing for it. People want it. People want to wear this belt. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's not to say that when you're a babyface, you don't get a chase, but it's for some reason, it's more memorable when you're a heel as a champion and you brag about it, you know, like, and then you have people kind of coming after you.
Yes. Yeah, there's feuds you can set up straight away. You've got Bayley that could challenge for that belt. They can go back to Meechan somewhere down the line. They've got options there.
Kate and I kind of spoke about this last week. I feel like, I don't know, I don't want to jinx it or maybe say anything, but I think maybe a Flair could come back, or Charlotte Flair could come back. And I'll tell you what, that title will look very, very goddamn good around her. You know what I'm saying? Like, so... Yeah,
Charlotte makes sense. I'm assuming there's other things you can do there. I said before, when they put American Made on SmackDown, I would like to see them come to SmackDown. And if that's the case, Ivy Niles would also be a good option to challenge for her down the line as well.
Yes.
I don't know what to make of this red, white, and green slogan that she's trying to get over now, because I'm like, all right, Mexico? That's... Viva la Chelsea, Viva la Chelsea Green, red, Italy? White, and green, red,
Italy
white, and green
in colors. No, I'm so lost.
Yeah, Italy. Like, I was like, that's it. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it works, but
yeah, I don't. I mean, I see what she's trying to do. You know, it's all about branding. She's been so good at that, by the way. I mean, you saw her outfit.
Yes.
Fight, like.
She's going to figure out a way to get something to work out of this. We got a video package right after this for Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes feud. Of course, Cody Rhodes retained at Saturday Night Main Event. But that dastardly Cody Rhodes, he cheated.
Cheated.
Shame on you, Cody Rhodes. Cheated to win. Used the chair that Kevin Owens introduced into the match to win. And afterwards, Kevin Owens was having none of that. Hit him with a package pile driver. Certain wrestlers that also use the package pile driver probably will come into WWE soon.
I wonder who that could be.
Yeah. And then he took the Winged Eagle belt. I thought afterwards they were just going to have him walk out of the arena with it. Nope, turns out he's been walking around everywhere with this belt. He was at the press event for the Netflix debut, and he showed up in this video package with it. He cut his promo where he once again is telling everyone, this isn't my fault. Still will not take accountability for anything he's done. nope, this isn't my fault. This is the referee's fault because I should have been champion. Did not count the count me yet to win. I should have won via pinfall. And then you guys let him cheat with this chair. None of this is my fault. I had to do that. he's so great. I mean, even though the more and more he blames everybody else, the more and more it feels like his motives are justified. Every time he does it, he's just so great that I want him to win. I kind of feel like doing the whole beatdown segment after the match and giving him the belt to walk around away was kind of a cheap way to give him what I hope was going to happen and him just winning and leaving with the belt. And because they didn't want to just give him the win, they're like, okay, let's give him this. Let's take Cody off off of TV for a while and let him walk around with the winged eagle belt and just say that he is the uncrowned champion, which works. But I kind of wish they just gave him the win.
Yeah, you know, man, I'm going to get hated for this one. But I'll tell you what, man, this Cody run has not been one of my top favorite runs for any, you know, in the past 10, maybe 5 to 10 champions, right? I want to make it a long spectrum, right? Because Roman had it for about 5 years. So,
yeah.
You know, right? So I have to stretch it beyond those means, right?
Yes.
So it just, you know, so now you have him off TV, you know, like, you know, Kevin Owens is always going to be Kevin Owens. He's insane, yes. Right? So what he's portraying right now and what he's been doing is just, it's Kevin Owens. It's Kevin Owens television. And I don't care how he does it and what title is it that he does it. He could do the exact same segment with every title and it'll still be dope. Okay? Yes. So I just feel like, you know, Cody has gotten such a good pass, man, from, you know, he got that like Roman treatment right now. You know, Roman, there was times when Roman was really out there, putting the belt on the line. And then there was other times, you know, you barely saw him on TV, you know? So, I don't know. Like, this has to be leading to a ton of insane stuff coming up here with Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, and then, you know, WrestleMania. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would assume that this is setting up the rematch at Royal Rumble. Again, I'm fine with the way we got here. I kind of wish they would have just gave Kevin Owens the win because they would have made some of the stuff he's doing even funnier. But it's Kevin Owens, one of the best characters in all pro wrestling right now.
With the best moveset, by the way.
showing up at the press event with the belt and saying, hey, man, why didn't you guys invite the champion? And doing what we know Kevin Owens to do, of course, bring it up the moveset thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder why he did that. not like it doesn't seem like may or may not have an issue with said person that said something about movesets.
I wonder who that could be.
Also friends with the other guy that Punk happened to be throwing shots at. So,
hey, we'll know more this January 6th live on Netflix.
But yeah, I thought this video package was good. It served its purpose to recap all of the stuff between Kevin Owens and Cody. And the little bit of the promo we got up afterwards continues to advance KO's character moving forward. I do think some criticisms of Cody's reign are valid. I personally enjoyed it. I do think some of the issues with him building his own storylines are valid, though, because particularly when you put him back with the Bloodline, it kind of felt like retread. I was ready for him to just go off on his own, get his own rivalries, and get his own storylines. This is a step in the right direction for me. I think the Kevin Owens feud is far and away the best feud of his entire reign. I think everything that he's done with Kevin Owens has been fantastic from the first match on. I enjoyed the build into the second match. I still kind of feel like it should have happened at Survivor Series, but I don't want to complain too much about it. What happened happened. I think the match itself at Saturday Night Main Event was fine for what it is, but it very much felt like this is the way to get to the next match. This isn't a definitive match. This is just a way to set up the next match at our next pay-per-view.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. Well, I'll as the kids like to say, I'll let them cook and see where it's going.
We got a super chat from Meat Normus. At this time on Wednesday, I was taking a pick with Will Hobbs. Made me forget the Wizards are 4-21. Yikes. He says, how was SmackDown? Rampage was meaty. Yeah. You did take a little bit of heat from Maxwell Jacob Freeman. Came out straight away and made fun of your Washington Wizards, which...
Dude, I think I've won more NBA games than the Wizards have. That's crazy.
Yeah, SmackDown, like we started the show, it was kind of uneventful. This feels kind of like a punt episode to get us over the holiday hump. Do you know what this feels like? This feels like definite vibes of going into work the Friday before Christmas coming up. Like, okay, man, I gotta be here. I gotta, you know, act like I'm doing something. Let me shove some tables around, answer some emails, and then get up out of here. Let me act like I'm working, but I really want to get out of here ahead of holiday weekend.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I can't blame them. You know, I can't blame them. Like, these guys just want to get...
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On with it, like you're talking about, you're right, next week everyone's off, right? There's like triple tapings and all that stuff, so
yes. Hope you had a good time at Dynamite. Was a very fun Dynamite in Washington, D.C. Someone's asking in our chat, are you an NBA fan, Alex?
Yeah, dude, huge NBA fan. Who's your NBA team? Ace, the Knicks.
Oh, Knicks fan. Oh, well, Knicks are in a good spot right now.
They're in a healthy spot right now. As long as these guys stay together, stay healthy. We know what happened last year.
Yes.
It's all about health. I don't think they'll survive with the bench if any of these guys go down. But I do think that they've made some really good additions to the team. Smart additions. And I'll tell you what, Thibodeau is, I've always been a huge fan since he was with Chicago. I always felt that he was the type of coach that could turn around and beat the living life out of anyone if he wanted to. Like, he looks mean, he looks tough, and I'm pretty sure he beats the crap out of his players when they do something wrong in practice, which no one talks about, but I'm okay with. You know, and I feel like I've always felt throughout the years when he was with the Minnesota Timberwolves, I was like, man, the Knicks really need this someone like him, someone to bring the team together and someone to really shape up these players, because of the people that they had in play were just not doing it. And lo and behold, Thibodeau comes into the Knicks and he's done an incredible job of putting these guys together and this team into like contenders. I mean, you saw them last year. They're contenders, you know?
Yeah. Big Thibodeau fan. Second best Chicago Bulls coach, in my opinion. He came here and turned this franchise around. Second most winning coach, I believe, in the history of the franchise, which isn't really hard to do, but still quite a feat for him. 2011 Bulls are, man, what a time. One of my favorite iterations of the team. And
yo,
heartbreaking into it, but Very, what a fun team to watch.
I felt like he took that team with him to the Wolves. I remember when he went to the Timberwolves, and they all showed up there, and I was like, what just
The Timberwolves over there, yeah, Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson at one point, Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose, yeah. I'm like, I saw that one day, and I'm like, really? I was like, all right, this is, you know. But that's what happens when you have a coach like that, right? Like, this is players want to be with you. People want to be around you that have played for you, so.
Have you heard Taj Gibson talk about Tibbs on, I believe it was Jeff Teague's podcast?
No, and what did he say?
He was saying how someone called him joking when somebody on the Knicks got injured, because somebody was saying, well, you know, you're going to get a call, right? You know, you're going to get that Tibbs call. He's like, yeah, shut up. And he wakes up at around like 1 or 2 in the morning, and his phone's ringing, and it's Tom Thibodeau. He's like, hey, you think you can be ready? You think you can get out here? He ends up playing for the Knicks like within the next 24 hours. It's such a great story. I'm not doing it any justice. Jeff Teague's podcast is pretty great if you have not listened to it.
I got to check it out, yeah.
Jeff is a great storyteller. And I believe Jeff is a wrestling fan. I think he talks a little bit about being a wrestling fan on there. He talks about CM Punk at one point on there. But that just kind of tells you where wrestling is and how much wrestling has infiltrated pop culture again, which is dope. But yeah, your Knicks are in a decent spot. Definitely won out that Timberwolves trade.
Yes.
The Julius Randle is not working out that great for them, as I expected. Gobert is getting exposed as the sole big man, which I expected as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, hey, again, it's all for me. It's all going to go. Last year, it all when what's his face broke his hand or his thumb, whatever that was. I was just like, oh, shoot, man. Like that team is linked together like a bike chain. When one link goes down, unfortunately, last year, like it kind of all started, like, you know, dominoes started falling. This year, they seem to be a little bit more together. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll see where everything goes, man. I'm hopeful for them. New York's been missing an NBA championship for God, long time.
Yeah. Let's get into some more of these super chats. Let's see from Junk Punch Hero, he says, well, they say, I don't know. Shouldn't assume. Fun
How
fact.
Dare you?
Fun fact, 2015 Tough Enough. Green's intro has both the U.S. title and the Saturday Night Main Event banner in the background. It's on YouTube, hosted by WWE. Oh, that is kind of cool.
Oh, cool, yeah. Wow. It all comes together.
We got another super chat from Will Chisholm. It says, funny how KO is doing CM Punk's AEW real champion storyline. Sort of, you know, happened to do it on a Saturday. Another show that Punk was doing that on was on Saturday as well. Sure, though, they're all coincidences, but it is a bit funny.
It is.
I believe that is all of our super chats. Again, if you want your chat read on the air, super chat is the best way to make that happen. Also, Humper Chats at humperchats.com/Fightful. Before we get into some more of this episode, if you cannot tell, spending that amount of time talking about basketball tells you how much time we have to stretch in this episode of SmackDown. Before we get into the rest of our topics, I'm going to hit you guys with a word from our sponsor, BetOnline.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best. From cutting-edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of. All major sporting events are covered by betonline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. betonline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. But for all of your sports betting needs, including pro wrestling, BetOnline.ag is the place to go. Unfortunately, for most Wizard fans, I'm sure you could take the other side of the Wizards at most of these games and end up doing pretty well. But
no shame in that, my friends. No shame in that.
But yeah, going into the rest of this episode, we got a Grayson Waller effect, which as they started setting up the set for a Grayson Waller effect, I immediately thought what I was thinking through all of these recap and the rest of these video packages. I was like, okay, so this is that kind of episode. Very much stretching it as much as we can. What happened to this split that they were teasing with Austin Theory and Grayson Waller? They just completely moved on from that. It seemed like they were setting up Theory to turn on him and turn face. That just completely went away.
You know, it's one of the things that WWE does a lot is when, you know, things just don't seem to be working out. They kind of just magically just disappeared. It never happened. Nothing was happening. Like, I wanted them to split for the longest. I felt like Austin Theory wasn't doing this whole tag team thing with Waller was not doing absolutely anything for him. Absolutely nothing. Okay. I mean, the poor guy has unfortunately gone from a golden egg to being with Waller and absolutely being like spinning his wheels. Yes. So, you know, but you're right.
I thought about that immediately when the segment starting, and it's like, oh, yeah, we haven't seen these guys in a while. What happened to their storyline? They just completely moved on from it. But out of this, we got Braun Strowman coming out in his very festive Santa Claus outfit. It kind of looked like Hulk Hogan's Santa with Muscles costume. he had the sleeveless Santa jacket. He's throwing out gifts to the crowd, gets in there. This was, again, very throwaway. It was the usual Waller effect thing where Waller trolls his guests. Braun is teasing, beating both of these guys up if they continue to be snarky with him. This leads to Carmelo Hayes coming out. Carmelo Hayes is upset that he lost his match last week, which I also was upset about Melo getting squashed.
Yeah.
But comes straight out and says he's not done with Braun. That leads to Braun throwing the palm trees and stuff out of the ring and messing up the set for a Waller effect. Because, of course, we have to do that with all of these talk show segments. Always. That has to be the end of the segment. Always. The set getting messed up and the host of it going like, no, my fake set for my fake talk show.
It's just, I was simultaneously watching Ring of Honor. And I can honestly tell you guys that, like, I was just like, what is happening on SmackDown right now? Why? And this isn't even with a third hour yet.
Yes.
So this Waller effect up show thing that he does in a wrestling ring will probably go for about 20 minutes once they add the third hour. Oh. So I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, give me more wrestling. Like, give me another women's match. Give me anything. Give me four more minutes of. And as soon as I saw Braun coming out with the Santa suit, I'm like, this is the entertainment aspect of it. I cannot complain. This is for kids. This is not for me. I cannot complain. I'm not a grown ass man sitting in the crowd going, oh my God, it's Braun in a Santa suit. Give me a shirt, bro. That's just not me, you know.
Give me some merch. There was a kid in the front row that Brian gave one of his shirts to. And
yes,
man, they couldn't have been any more excited, jumping up and down. I'm sure that in the crowd, this was a lot of fun, but at home, this was definitely the low point of this show for me. I just did not care about anything happening in this segment. And then we got another match with Melo right after this, and I did not think this was good.
Yeah.
I did not think this was good at all.
The chase, the things in the... I mean, the beatdown backstage was fun. But like when he, you know, he finally got his hands on him. I like the anger that he had in him when he was beating the hell out of Braun. But everything that led up to that...
This...
Can you make it make sense for me, sir?
Yeah. So... The whole story here is Melo is upset that he got set up in this match with Braun last week and he got squashed. So he comes out and tries to get his lick back and he outsmarts Braun at several points in the match. He's getting in and out of the ring. He's using these little crafty spots to get his hits in. And he eventually went with a count out here. Boy, did this feel like a waste of time.
It was definitely a waste of time. Why would you win? You know, first of all, when the match started, Phil, I thought I was like, ooh, I was ready to curse. F. They're gonna effing crush him again. And I'm like, why would you do this to the man who's had such a great run? But now you're, you know, okay. I think like maybe the whole chase and the match and everything... We could have avoided that. I think I would have loved for Carmelo to go in there pissed off and just grab the chair and just beat the living crap out of him. Like, you know, this is who I am. I'm Melo. Put some respect behind my name, bro. You know, like, you ain't going to come in here and punk me like that. But we had to go through so much just to get to that part, at, you know, backstage. Yes. But I'm glad he didn't get crushed.
I'm very much glad that Melo did not take another loss here. It wasn't another squash. Again, outsmarted Braun here, won via count out, and then immediately jumped out of the ring and ran backstage. Braun chased him backstage after the commercial break. He's pushing people out the way. The funniest bit of all of this is he runs into Legado del Fantasma.
Ain't no snitch.
And Santana's like, I ain't no snitch. I ain't telling you nothing. And Garza immediately is like, he went that way. He went straight through there. Oh, he's over there. Right there. See? Right there. Like right over there.
Why are you messing with me, bro?
Nah. Santana's like, I ain't got nothing for you. Guard's like, nah, listen, I'm telling. He right over there. See him right over there.
That's just great.
Yeah, but so then this leads to Braun chasing him further down the hallway, runs into Pretty Deadly. Remember those guys? Pretty good tag team. They're still doing this musical bit for some reason. Don't know why they're doing that. Braun smacks the flyers out of their hands and says he doesn't care about this musical. And I said, yes, I don't either. I don't think anyone does.
Is this musical thing still going on? That's what I thought to myself. Like, can we end it? It's
Finally gets, looks to have caught up with Melo. Melo catches him from behind, beats him down with a chair, and then runs away. I'm assuming that's going to set up a third match at some point. But the problem with this, even if Melo did get the best of him this week and outsmart him, I do not believe that this is leading to Melo winning the next match. Braun is going to eventually beat this man down.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I'm in today's episode had me like in a weird mood. I'm just like,
there's so many things that you could tell this was like, let's punt this to next week. All right, let's get to next week.
Yeah, let's just get to next week. Yeah.
Again, agreed. I told you, shuffling some papers around. Like, look, I'm working. Yeah, sure. Like, let me answer some emails. Your boss comes walking by, you just pick up a phone. Like, yeah, so buy, sell.
sell. That's so true.
We don't. I read that one already. I thought I missed a super chat, but did read that one already. I thought the highlight of this show for me, the most fun I had watching this show, was the match that they promoted the most coming into the episode. That's Alex Shelley taking on Gargano. This was a very, very fun match. It could have been one of those. I was waiting the whole match, like, get to a match, get to some more wrestling. And when we actually got this match, this boy was just a lot of fun. I loved the way they built this up of these are two guys that have history together, they have similar moves, and so at several points it was like they couldn't get the best of each other because they knew each other's moves. Alex Shelley kept countering him and catching him before he can get a move off. I thought all of that stuff was cool. At the end of it, Ciampa comes down and interferes, distracts Alex Shelley. In the meantime, Gargano comes in, hits Shelley, picks up the win, screwy finish. I like this a lot. I even enjoyed the finish.
Yeah, I did not mind the, you know, the run-in again, you know, like the interference. I sometimes feel like that gets a little lazy, but, you know, yeah. Like, this is who they are now. So I respect it. And, you know, they want to show that, you know, in order for them to be heelish, you got to do a lot of heel crap. Yes. And I want to believe in them. I want to believe that they're, you know, that they, you know, why they did this. Like, there's such a long story here to tell us, like, why did they turn, right? And why are now, like, Motor City Machine Guns their number one target, right? Like, well, what's going on here? So let them interfere. Let them get into fights. And it's the heel thing to do, right? So.
Yes. Yeah, this match, I like this match a lot. Very fun match. I like that this is setting up more stuff for the tag teams. Please use your tag teams more in 2025. Get these tag teams on pay-per-views. Give them actual feuds.
Sure.
Get Pretty Deadly back on TV as a tag team. Come on.
I know. Please.
That's another reason why I would kind of like to see Gable and American Made move over. Get the Creeds in this tag division. Wrestling guys like Motor City Machine Guns, Street Profits. But this was a good step in the right direction. DIY also introduced some new theme music here because now they're bad guys, so they have to have generic yes. rock heel music now.
He sent in generic rock 106.7. It's true. They did just kind of like I heard it and I'm like, I kind of looked at the TV. I'm like, who's coming out? You know, but if it wasn't for the we are, and then I was like, oh, okay.
Well, they had their Def Rebel thing that started the music. We yes. are DRY.
Yes. Yeah. That's what got me. I was like, oh, okay. And then the I was like, ah, they're bad guys. I could tell by their generic.
They should just, I know Gargano is a big nerd. He should have came in there and pitched them doing like the variation of the VR Troopers theme song. Oh, it's just like, we are DIY.
I can't believe you mentioned that. I can't. You just brought me back to my childhood.
Fuck. Virtual reality.
We are virtual reality. Oh my God. Funny thing. Real quick, if you guys are into comic books, Boom just released a new Power Rangers series called Power Rangers Prime, and it takes place a little bit in the future. And the VR Troopers are actually the, Power Rangers of this new
era.
Yeah, so like they protect the world from evil, and the Power Rangers were banned, like, you know, because they didn't want them to have that type of power. So yeah, it's pretty cool kind of that you mentioned that and I just read that comic book and VR Troopers are in there. I'm like, ah, it's all coming together now.
Saban.
Yes, freaking Saban.
It's the Saban verse.
The Saban verse. Wow, please don't pitch that to him. He won't pay you for it. That's another story.
Yeah, the connections between that are also funny because the late, great Jason David Frank, if you know, the VR Troopers was initially supposed to be his show. That was the whole yes. reason that the show was created. But he ended up being so popular that they had to bring him yeah. back to Power Rangers. They brought the Green Ranger back. And, of course, Jason David Frank ended up moving on and playing multiple Power Rangers because yeah. he's ended up being one of the most popular characters on the show.
Yeah. Really popular. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. It's just crazy. And the pilot is on YouTube. The whole episode of VR Troopers, the first episode, is there. He was playing Ryan in that episode. So you can actually go online, watch it. It's freaky. Because yeah. then Brad ended up taking over for him. Brad Hawkins.
Yes.
Who was supposed to be on Power Rangers. They ended up switching him and out he went.
Yes. Old co-host of Grapsody, Will Washington, also told a very funny story on an episode of Grapsody where his brother actually auditioned for a role on VR Troopers. He was going to play the black character that's on VR Troopers. He auditioned for that role, and he thought that he got it until this other guy walked in that eventually got the role, and he comes in and he's doing all the karate and stuff. He's like, well, I'm not getting that.
Yeah, that's kind of, I mean, listen, I became friends with all of them. Years later, I work with them. The entire cast for the last like 28 years. So I'm involved in that world. If for anyone who doesn't know, I'm a geek 100%. So
yeah, big Power Rangers fan.
Huge.
Also, but yeah. Long time since I've seen VR Troopers, but what a great theme song.
Water. Yeah, now that you think about it, Jesus.
We're going to get into the final match on this card, main event. But before we do that, I'm going to hit you with another word from our sponsors.
There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Hell yeah, get yourself some Nord. I have it. You're going to need it, especially in the next 4 years.
A-Shock is asking, ever watched a ripoff Power Rangers show called Tattooed Something? You, sir, are talking about Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills.
From Beverly Hills.
I've never seen it, but that was one of those shows from that time period. There are so many shows in that era that Super Sentai Power Rangers sparked, whether it be the Mystic Knight show, VR Troopers. I'm probably missing some.
Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Big Bad Beetleborg, of course. Superhuman Samurai.
Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
But yeah, no, I never watched that show, but I have seen like the cover for the DVDs and the posters and stuff for it. It looks awful.
Yeah, there's I'll tell you what, friends, that time period was crazy. Everyone wanted to bring in Japanese footage, dub it, and make millions. Unfortunately, Saban kind of just like was the only one who did it and did it well. And if you look back at Saban, man, Saban was part of Fox Kids before, you know, as Fox Kids was taken off. He was part of X-Men. If you look at the end of the original X-Men 92 episodes, it'll say Saban Entertainment after it. Like, that man had a stronghold in our lives when we were kids and we didn't even know it.
Yes, that Saban logo used to pop up after a bunch of stuff on Saturday mornings.
Yeah, Sabanverse, baby.
Unleash the Saban cut.
The Saban cut.
I mean, well, I guess technically Power Rangers is the Saban cut because it's his.
It's his, yeah. Oh, man. What a world.
But yeah, the main event was the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match. Naomi is filling in for Jade Cargill, who is injured. We still do not know who took Jade out, but Naomi is filling in for her with Bianca Belair. They took on the team of Nia Jax and Candice LeRae. We got a teaser for this match coming in earlier backstage. Candice and Nia are doing like a little strategy session. They're talking about how they can win this match. And Tiffany walks up and they let her know, we do not need your help. We don't want you out there. And Tiffany does her little sad walk away with her briefcase. Definitely teeing up this baby face for turn for her and a cash in. I was hoping we got a cash in tonight because, man, that would have added something to this show where I could come away from it like, yes, something big happened. But, of course, it was all smoke.
Yeah.
Nothing actually happened.
I'm kind of waiting for the security footage to be released. WWE always has some type of security footage somewhere. So I'm kind of waiting. Tonight was one of the nights where I thought that maybe you would hear Bianca come out and say, "I got something for you, and you're gonna see it next week." You know,
but, storm is coming.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Not Bianca. I'm sorry. Yes, Jade. Sorry. I was waiting to see if Jade was gonna come out and say something like, "Hey, I got something for you, and it's coming next week. I'm putting it together." I'm like, "Oh, here it is." You know, like, we're gonna find out who messed her up.
Yes. But yeah, this match served its purpose. I enjoyed it for the most part. I think the story here was that because Bianca and Naomi have worked together as a trio with Jade, that they have more chemistry together. They've worked better together in this team. And it showed that Nia teaming up with Candace kind of blew up in her face, because she actually has more chemistry with Tiffany Stratton. And you can see there were miscommunications at certain points in this match with Candace, and that really kind of cost Nia the match here. Nia also got busted open at some point in this match. I don't know when that happened, but she had a huge blood spot on her forehead. But Soldier through this match, I thought it was fine. What did you think of the match overall?
Yeah, I think I again, like you mentioned, it was an okay match. I think the women have really done a lot to elevate themselves. I feel like the tag team titles have not been those to be elevated as much as I would like to. So I don't know what this pairing is going to do. I don't know if Jade is going to come back and, you know, is there a story here to tell about what happened? I thought the match was fine. I thought it was, you know, the way that they told the story, which she wanted to earn the title instead of being given to her, like when they were backstage and Gorilla, and she was like, "Here, take this." She's like, "Nah, bro, I'm going to earn that," you know? So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much where my thoughts are when it comes to the final, the main event here, which a lot of it was phoned in, but whatever. I had fun. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, I mean, but that was the theme of this episode. A lot of this felt very phoned in. But this match was good for what it was. I thought there were some great story elements to it between Nia and Tiffany, but also just the Bianca and Naomi dynamic also. Like you said, having Naomi make a point of saying, "That's not my belt. I haven't earned that." And so you have Bianca coming out with both belts. And then when they win by the end of it, she finally gives Naomi the belt. And I thought that was a good moment to end the show on. And, you know, to your point, they haven't done the best job of elevating these belts and using them well. I mean, funny enough, these belts were probably defended more on pay-per-views this year than any other tag belts.
Very true. Yep.
So, you know, you could say that. But also, it was cool to see them main event this show. Always good to see the women main event. This was a great spot for them. It shows that the Nia and Tiffany stuff has been such a big fixture on SmackDown that if you needed anything to end the show other than the Bloodline stuff, this is probably the next big storyline up. Yeah. So that's cool as well. Really appreciate that for the women and the women's tag team division. But yeah, this pretty straightforward. I did think also to the point with the teases of Tiffany turning face, when she did come out with the briefcase, that crowd definitely started popping. You immediately start hearing the cash it in chants. I really kind of wish we got a cash in, but I knew we weren't going to because, again, this is a punt episode.
We had a little tease. We always just have a little tease with her. I don't know. I mean, she came out in her regular clothes, so I kind of knew nothing was going to happen.
Yes. The way she walked out was very funny.
Yeah.
She was walking out all slow, like trying to be careful. Yeah, yeah. And so.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of gave it away. I was just like, yeah, you're just out there for more filler. I'll take it.
Right. The finish came when Nia kept asking her to give her the briefcase so she can use it to cheat, and Tiffany gives her the briefcase, but the referee caught her. This led to Bianca coming and knocking Nia out the ring. Naomi picks up the win. She pinned Candice LeRae to retain the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. That's what we end the show on. The champion standing strong. Naomi is now raising the belt. Do you think, and this goes with our, I believe, our last super chat, which was earlier, so now I have to find it. To Will Chisholm's point, Phil is really looking like Naomi attacked Jade, LOL. Yeah. Do you think with the way that they teed this up with Naomi kind of coyly taking the belt and now she slid in and taking Jade's spot, do you think this is more to get people to think that Naomi was the one that attacked Jade?
100%. I mean, first of all, there's a lot of things that don't make sense to me. Like, why? Right? Like, why was she attacked? Who's a tag team that can possibly be upset enough to try to take out one of the women, you know? So there's a lot of questions there. And if it was Naomi, why, Naomi? Like, were you jealous that Jay just came in and had all the attention on her? You know, like, but that wouldn't make sense either, because now your tag team partner's with her tag team partner. So now there's dissension between you two. You two cannot coexist together because you took out her tag team. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm a little bit lost. I want to say the matches are cool, the physicality is great, but the storytelling hasn't matched what I'm seeing.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Bless you.
Thank you. I don't know. I think that there's a good story you can do here with Naomi. By the way, I thought their matching zebra gear was fire.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah.
But I do think there's something cool here with them doing this big three at WrestleMania and Naomi coming into the Royal Rumble match as this big returning star from TNA, and how she's gotten overshadowed in some ways by Jay coming back and signing with SmackDown. And this was supposed to be her big triumphant return. She was TNA Knockouts champion. Mm-hmm. I thought when she came back, she was going to win some championship gold. She's lost her world title match against Nia at every turn where it seemed like she was going to take that next step and move back into the main title picture. It hasn't happened for her. And so now, mysteriously, Jade gets injured, and now she ends up with a championship around her waist. Very coincidental. It could be seen as a way, like, Naomi sabotaged Jade to take her spot in this tag team.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just like, what do? You know, like, does she have someone that's working with her, you know, to take out Bianca? Yeah. You know, like, what's happening here? What's next? I'm ready. I think that, you know, when it comes to WWE, they have a fun way to fill gaps, even when they don't make sense.
I mean, that is an option. I personally believe that all of this Naomi stuff feels a bit too on the nose. I don't think that she attacked Jade. I think this is all a red herring. I think somebody else did, but I could be wrong. I'm personally ready for them to move forward with a lot of storylines. Sure. That they've been teasing. I think at this point, I'm ready to get to it. Reveal something with this Jade thing at this point, and let's get this cash in at this point. I think we've teased this thing long enough. We've done this. Oh, will she cash it in? Will she not cash it in? I'm ready to just actually get some momentum with this, get into this cash in. I do think it's great that this is really the first time since Carmella that we've seen anybody hold the briefcase for an extended time and actually get a storyline out of it. But it's getting a bit repetitive. That's the only thing.
Every time, I mean, they've just done the same thing over and over again, right? They've just basically like just insert Tiffany here at this moment. Insert Tiffany here at this moment. Insert, like, you know, at the Survivor Series, you know, like there's only so much that, you know, like so many ways that you can do this. Does she actually do it before the new year? Do we go into 2025 with a new champion? You know, like that's the only thing I'm thinking.
Not sure. I have to assume she is going to cash in before WrestleMania, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
I hope that she cashes in before the Rumble. I don't want this to be another. She comes running down to the Royal Rumble ring with that briefcase, because you don't need to do that. You Agreed. Have a way to get a title match.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was SmackDown. Like I said, not a whole bunch to talk about here. We've stretched this episode about as much as they stretched this episode with the video packages and the recaps.
Hey, I do want to say this. Make sure you go check me out on Blue Sky, and I'll tell you why. I saw the set over for Ring of Honor, and it reminded me of the 2001 Monday Nitro set. If you guys go check out my Blue Sky skeet, is that what they call it? That sounds just nasty saying that, but yeah. I'm not on Twitter. Make sure you go check that out, because they looked very similar. I love the similarities between the two sets. So yeah, that was just me there.
Yeah, I am also mainly on Blue Sky. I have abandoned people on Twitter, and every time I pop back on Twitter to promote some stuff or do something else, I'm like, yeah, this is why I don't be over here like that no more. You guys, it's the Wild Wild West over there.
Wow. Wait, very Wild Wild West.
And not like the kooky Wild Wild West like Will Smith and giant mechanical spiders. Actual, like, people are like running around the streets being toxic and violent for no reason.
Yeah, like if you continue going west and you hit Germany in 1940s type of West, it's just crazy over there, man. It's just nuts.
Of course, I will be back tomorrow on Fightful's YouTube channel, this very YouTube channel that you're watching, co-hosting Rhapsody at noon Eastern with Righteous Wedge. Have a guest, the big homie Emilio Sparks, will be coming in.
Nice. To
talk with us as well. Can find me, like I said, on Blue Sky. You can still find me on Twitter at PhilDO616, but I'm basically on autopilot over there.
Word. You guys can head over to, just go to AlexisCardoza.com. I decided to buy my own name and brand it so that you guys can just find all of my links and everything that I'm working on in there. The next time that I do see you will be next week. We were already past Christmas. So if, you know, for anyone who celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. And I believe Hanukkah also lands on Christmas Day. So it's crazy. And everything else that anyone celebrates, blessings to you all, man.
Yeah, of course, 4 days away. So Merry Christmas to everybody that celebrates that. Hopefully everybody spends some time with their loved ones. If you're one of those people that is not a fan of Christmas and you find this holiday to be depressing, like some people do.
Yes.
Please keep your head up. It's just one day. Try to find joy in all of the things that you can. Don't let any of this real world stuff get you down. Try to find joy in the world. Trying to find people that you can spend this holiday with. And like I said, all the best to everybody. I'll be back tomorrow. This has been SmackDown's post show. I'm Phil Lindsay. It's Alex. We're out of here.
Later, guys.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.